It's time for the SwampSwamiSports.com audio podcast. Welcome back to the SwampSwamiSports.com audio podcast. Today, we're going to write a letter to the NBA. Dear NBA, yes, I know that you're a multi-billion-dollar operation today, and you certainly don't need any advice from an old washed-up high school basketball player who's been a lifelong NBA fan. Ah, that's why the internet is so wonderful. One person like me has an opportunity to put forward some ideas for a change. Though it's highly unlikely that anyone with the NBA would even care what I had to say, my email is always available to you at swampswamisports@gmail.com. Now, after the football season ends in early February with the NFL's Super Bowl game, basketball traditionally takes the center stage to keep many of us sports fans interested during the cold winter days ahead. By March, though, college basketball has its annual March Madness basketball tournament, and those 64 college teams, okay, 68 these days, can play up to six increasingly suspenseful ball games, two every week, leading up to the championship finale. And for 1 month, the college basketball postseason, both men's and women's tournaments, has positioned itself with a firm grasp on the nation's television viewers. Once March ends, though, it would make logical sense that the Professional Basketball League, the NBA, should begin its own suspenseful playoff season, too. And though April does indeed bring the NBA's regular season to a merciful close after nearly half a year, the NBA playoffs, as currently structured, then stretches over 3 calendar months. Beginning in mid-April, then all of the month of May, and concluding in middle of June, in order to determine pro basketball's champion. That's just not necessary. If the NBA plays an 82-game regular season, which is more than double the number of basketball games played by your NCAA college basketball champions, why do the NBA playoffs need to take so long to determine their top team? Does it really take up to 100 total games in a season, which is incredibly hard on your joints, by the way, for professional basketball to determine its winner? Well, it's all about, you ready? Money!
I'm all ears.
The 30 NBA teams really do need enough current revenues annually to cover their cost, with NBA teams paying a league minimum of $122 million, and yes, that's you, San Antonio, to over $200 million, yes, I see you, Golden State, to their roster of players in team salaries this year. The NBA franchises need to generate a lot of revenue from national television, home arena ticket sales, local radio and television ads, merchandise, and assorted other revenue sources to pay those players and keep the team's bills paid every year. The NBA's largest television viewing audiences, at least for today, come during the lengthy NBA playoff season. The true goal for most NBA, or for that matter, other professional sports franchises, is to simply turn a profit every year and tread water in hopes that the value of your sports franchise keeps growing by the year. The true goal is to avoid losing current cash during your regular season while patiently watching the value of your team grow and grow over time. Did you know that your average NBA franchise today in 2022 is now worth over $2 billion?
Excellent.
Now, the real money is made when the owner decides to sell the team and finally cash in. Yes, the idea of buy low, sell high is quite literally the goal of every professional sports franchise owner. Here's a real-life example to bring it on home. If our friend, we'll call him Wile E. Investor, was smart enough to have purchased 1,000 shares of Amazon back in May 1997 at $1.50 per share, and yes, that's the actual price you could have had it for then. Today, 25 years later, he'd be able to sell that stock for a whopping $2,763 per share. Those 1,000 shares of stock, initial cost at $1,500, is now valued at $2,763,000. But you know, when is that right time to sell? And that depends on whether you had a more valuable use for the money, or perhaps you felt like your investment value had peaked, or was feeling the wrath of thousands of angry fans the longer your inept management teams have kept the team from being competitive. See also the New York Knicks. You might ask yourself, what about those outlandish, ever-increasing player salaries being paid? Can't those owners do anything to get those costs under control? Well, sure they can. The real question you should ask is, why should they? As long as television, which covets a young, male-oriented target market, keeps upping the financial ante every 5 to 10 years and passing those costs along to you and me in the form of longer games and halftimes with more and more commercials, then the NBA owner makes more revenue. And in addition, the NBA team's local fans are going to be asked to pay more money for those already overpriced tickets to watch the games in person. Now, we're talking $30 for nosebleed upper deck seats at most arenas to more than $1,000 to watch a game in the first few rows, where you can also hear the players bickering and cursing up close and personal. Then your sports franchise owner still has no incentive to reduce cost as long as his annual income statement still shows a small profit every season. Remember, the idea is to sell high. You see, most NBA franchises really don't care if they show a lot of profit from year to year in order to keep their taxes down. That big payday comes down the line when they sell the team. And to an NBA owner, the team franchise becomes a nifty investment vehicle, which also brings the owner some local adoration. The team owner receives a halo effect, positive goodwill, from the local citizens who support other hometown business ventures, such as car dealerships. Yes, it's good to be the king. You may have noticed that there are very few sports franchises being sold every year. And that tells me that most sports franchise owners are very happy to keep on waiting and watching their franchise values increase year after year after year. And you know what? You and I would probably do exactly the same thing. And that finally brings me back around to the NBA playoffs. I'd like to propose a few simple changes which hopefully will make the NBA's long regular season a little bit more entertaining from start to finish and help us to shorten these overly long NBA playoffs. Number one, let's break the NBA season into two 41-game halves, with the NBA All-Star Weekend coming during that same week. The first half winner of the NBA's Eastern Conference and Western Conference will each clinch a playoff berth, regardless of how well they do in the second half of the season. Now, this assures that fan interest will be generated earlier in the basketball season, as a few of these upstart teams might race out of the gate and capture the first half conference title. Number two, the second half of the NBA season will be played, and like the first half, a second half champion will be determined in the Eastern and Western Conference based on their second half performance. They also will earn an automatic playoff berth. Now, if the same team should win both the first and second half of the NBA season, they'll receive a bye in the playoffs in round one. And that's exactly what would have happened for the Phoenix Suns this year. They would have received a bye in round one under my format. And as a result of that, only 15 teams would have been needed in total to have been allowed to be in the NBA playoffs during 2022 due to Phoenix's first round bye. Number three change. The current play-in format, which has given the 9th and 10th place teams in each conference a chance to qualify for the playoffs, would be dropped immediately. You know, if 82 regular season games aren't good enough to show you which teams are playoff worthy, what is? Good riddance and goodbye.
Adieu to you and
change
you
number
and
four. The 16-team NBA playoffs, assuming there are no repeat first or second half conference winners, will be seeded without consideration to conferences and based on each team's full 82-game regular season record. Any ties will be broken based on head-to-head competition, and if the teams are still tied, the team which has the best overall home record receives preference. And if it's still a tie after that, yeah, we're going to go to a coin flip to determine the winner. Number five. The automatic qualifiers, the first and second half winners from the East and Western Conferences, will be seeded, though, based on their overall 82-game regular season record. Number six, let's get to the playoffs. In round number one of the playoffs, in my new revised format, the top-seeded teams will face the lowest available seeds in a 2 games out of 3 format played in 1 week. The top-seeded team will host games number 1 and, if needed, number 3. Change number 7, round 2 of the playoffs. We'll have the same format as the first round, with best 2 out of 3 games and the top-seeded team hosting games number 1 and 3. In round number 3 of the playoffs, as we get down from 4 teams to 2, we'll expand this to a 3 out of 5 game series, with at least one night off between the games. The top-seeded team will host games number 1 and 2, then go on the road for numbers 3 and 4, and if needed, will come back home and play number 5. And that brings us to change number 9, the NBA Finals. As we get to the final two teams, it'll have the same format as round number 3, a best 3 out of 5 game series. And that should be enough, don't you think? Yes! Number 10 on the changes is a change to the NBA's draft lottery rules. To discourage the weakest NBA teams from tanking or losing more games on purpose at the end of the year to improve their chances in the lottery, the teams which fail to make the playoffs each season will all be given an equal weighting. In other words, just one lottery ball apiece. Now, the current weighting type of system hasn't worked very well to motivate the weakest franchises. I believe more excitement will be generated for the league if we give all of the teams that don't qualify for the playoffs the exact same chance to get lucky and rebuild their teams again. Having the number 1 draft pick also doesn't necessarily assure that your franchise will get the best player of the next year. Anybody remember names like Markelle Fultz in 2017 or Ben Softserve Simmons from 2016, Anthony Bennett from 2013, and remember the sad case of Greg Oden back in 2007? Yes, mistakes often do happen. My new NBA playoff format would eliminate the current slothful best-of-7 format in each round. This simple change alone would reduce the length of time needed for the NBA playoffs and end the season in May instead of in June. The compressed playoff schedule should convey a greater sense of urgency to the players and capture more interest from the fans. If you go to SwampSwamiSports.com and check it out, we'll show you what the proposed 2022 playoff roster would have looked like. And this season, only 15 teams would have qualified for the playoffs, as your Phoenix Suns, which had the best record in the NBA's Western Conference in the first and second half with an identical 32-9 record, would have earned a first-round bye. In the Eastern Conference, the first half champion was Chicago at 27-15. The second half winner, the Boston Celtics, went a nifty 31-10 down the stretch. With my proposed playoff changes, the Cleveland Cavaliers, by virtue of their 44-38 regular season record, still would have qualified for the final playoff spot this year at number 15. However, by getting rid of the expanded play-in games, the Atlanta Hawks, New Orleans Pelicans, Los Angeles Clippers, and San Antonio Spurs would have been staying at home for the postseason this year. So what do you think? Thanks for listening. Come back and see us next time at SwampSwamiSports.com.